It's wonderful to be with you tonight. My name is Tim Capel. I'm one of the pastors here. It's lovely to have you with us, albeit on a really somber occasion. I still remember the time that I first received my first wristwatch. I got it for my 13th birthday, and it was one very similar to the one I'm wearing, a little Casio. And the thing I was most excited about my wristwatch was the luminescent screen, you know, that lights up and it all goes blue. And I couldn't wait to kind of play with this thing. And I remember unwrapping the present and trying to get the watch working. Yet, of course, it was daylight, and I couldn't see the light. And so, Mum, it's broken. It's not working. And she told me to go to the dark, Tim, and try again. And I remember going to the pantry and closing the doors, pitch black, and there it was, the blue screen. And I had lots of fun playing with that blue screen under the covers of my bed. And it's true, isn't it, that light shines the brightest in dark places. And it is absolutely right to say that this last few days have been some of the darkest moments in our country, New Zealand. It truly is one of our darkest times. And many of us, myself included, are struggling for words to express our despair, our grief, our anger, and our fear. But tonight I don't want to share my words with you. I want to point you to God's words. That's what this book is, the Bible. It is the word of the living God. It is the words of the God who made our universe. And in this word lies many answers for us, answers which make sense of the brokenness of our world. And not just answers, but actually real, lasting hope. And I hope that in our darkness today, these words of hope might shine really bright for us. And I want to pray that as we think about some of these words tonight, that God might help us see light in darkness. And let's pray together. God, thank you that you have spoken into our dark world. Please might you speak to us now. Please help us to see light in the midst of darkness. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to tell you about a man in the Bible named Job, because Job was a man who knew great grief and great darkness. Job was a God-fearing man, and yet he suffered greatly. And that's one of the great injustices of our world, isn't it? That suffering comes both to the righteous, the good people, if you like, but also to wicked people. It's one of the injustices of our world, and Job knew that. He was a God-fearing man, and yet he suffered. He lost almost everything that was precious to him. First of all, he lost all of his possessions. He was a wealthy man, and he lost it all. He lost his livestock and his cattle. He lost all of his wealth. And then he lost his family. 7 sons and 3 daughters were killed when a house collapsed on them in a storm. And then he lost his health, and he became covered in sores that were painful and itchy. And he knew grief and darkness. And yet in that moment of darkness, Job maintained his faith and his hope in God. And in just one sentence in the Bible, Job says these words, which will be on the screen behind me and also on the back of the little card you would have received when you came in tonight. Job says, "I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand upon the earth." Here is the hope that Job held on to. And here are the words that are able to give you and I hope tonight. "I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end, he will stand upon the earth." There are, I think, 3 things that we so desperately need at a time like this. First, we need a savior. We need someone who is able to keep us safe, able to rescue us, able to protect us. Secondly, we need justice. We need evil to be punished. And thirdly, we need love. Love to overcome hate. And Job finds hope, and I pray that you and I might also find hope in knowing that God provides all of those three things for us. I want us to think about each one in turn. First, we need a Saviour. We need someone who will protect us, someone who will rescue us from the darkness of our world. The events of Friday afternoon have reminded us yet again that our world is a broken place. They're acts of pure evil, and they overshadow the many acts of love and kindness. When we hear of 50 people being shot dead and a further 48 being injured, we cry out in grief, and rightly so, because we know it is not right. We know that it is not the way the world is meant to be. And perhaps a question that you're already asking is why? Why do these things happen? Why here in New Zealand? Why us? Why such hate? Why? And the Bible says that we're totally right to feel that way, because that is not the way the world is meant to be. There is something wrong. The Bible says that God made a perfect world, that when God first created the world, he looked at the world that he had made and he said it was very good. It was a world of peace. It was a world of flourishing. It was a world of hope. It was a world of life. It was the world that you and I all long for. And yet the Bible tells us that what tragically happened is that death and evil entered God's good world when we, the human race, turned our back on God. God wanted us to live with him, under his rule, in his love. And if we did that, we would flourish and live in peace. But we chose instead to rule our own lives. The Bible says that we disobeyed God and we turned our backs on him, that we wanted to live in God's good world, but without God. And when that first happened thousands of years ago, death and pain and suffering came into God's good world. And that's been the pattern ever since. The Bible says that our world is cursed because we've turned our back on our Creator. And the events of Friday are just another reminder to us that this world is not right. Something is wrong. We long for a world of peace, a world of love, and a world of life. And so what we need is a Saviour. We need something or someone who can reverse the curse. We need something or someone who can restore the world to what it was. We need someone or something to redeem us. And Job, in his suffering and in his grief, he knows that God has provided that person. Notice that's what he says. I know that my Redeemer lives. Job knows that there is someone who can save him from his grief, that there is someone who can restore peace, that there is someone who can do away with evil and death. And the Bible says that that someone is the person Jesus Christ. Praise God that although we turned our back on him, he did not turn his back on us. God, driven by love, a love for us, a love for you, and a love for me, he did not leave us in darkness. He did not leave us to die in a world full of evil. But instead, he chose to come into our world himself. God came into our darkness. He entered our suffering. 2,000 years ago, God came into our world in the person of Jesus. He grieved with us. He suffered for us. And ultimately, he died for us. Already the stories of heroes from Friday are emerging. Men and women who risked their lives to save others. I read of a man named Naeem Rashid who rushed the gunman trying to stop the massacre, and he was killed along with his son. I also read of a man named Abdul Aziz who picked up one of the discarded weapons and sought to chase the gunman away. These men are heroes, and they ought to be honored. They risked their lives to save others. But the greatest hero in all of history, the hero we so desperately need, is the person Jesus. For Jesus came into our world to die for us, The Bible says that when he died on that cross 2,000 years ago, he paid the price for our sin, that the just anger of God was poured out on Jesus instead of us. You see, Jesus was perfect. Jesus loved perfectly. He never did any wrong, and yet he died in the place of sinners. He died for you, and he died for me. And the Bible says that therefore anyone who turns back to God, anyone who trusts Jesus can be forgiven. We can be made right with God. There is hope for our dark world because God has come to redeem it. And anyone who turns to Jesus and trusts Jesus can be reconciled to God. Jesus came to bring peace, peace between us and our Creator. And tonight, he invites every one of us here to accept the peace that he offers. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so if we do that, if we trust Jesus, then we can say, even in our grief, along with Job, "I know my Redeemer lives. I know that one day the wrongs of this world will be put right. I know that Jesus has redeemed me. He's died for me that I might be forgiven and be at peace with God." We need a Savior, and Jesus is the answer. Secondly, we need justice. We need people to be punished, evil to be punished, wrongs to be put right. We so want justice, don't we? Mixed with our grief is anger. We want the man who committed this awful, awful act of evil to be brought to justice. Of course, that's what we want. And yet, deep down, we know that in this broken world, justice will not satisfy us. For whatever happens to the man responsible, nothing will bring back the 50 lives that he's taken. We grieve knowing that it is a great and terrible injustice. It's awful. But Job's confidence, as he suffers, is that in the end his Redeemer will stand upon the earth. Notice that's what he says. "I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand on the earth." You see, Job knows that despite the injustice of this world, in the end his Redeemer will stand. That is Jesus. Jesus, in the end, will stand as a judge over the earth. For the one who died on that cross 2,000 years ago did not stay dead. He rose to life 3 days later, and he is now seated at God's right hand. And the Bible says that one day Jesus will return, and he will bring real justice. There will be a day when every person will stand before Jesus and give an account for how they have lived in God's world. And on that day, justice will be done. You see, just as we care about good and evil in the world, and just as we care about justice and injustice, so does God. He cares too. And one day he'll put things right. There'll be a day of judgment, and those who've continued to turn their back on God will pay for their sin. There'll be justice, and evil will be dealt with. But on that day as well, the world will be restored once and for all. On that day when Jesus returns, evil will be done away with, and there'll be no more death and no more suffering, and there'll be no more pain, and God will make a new creation where those who love him will live with him in peace and life forever. You see, this is the day that Job looked forward to in his suffering, the days when wrong will be put right, a day when in our time of darkness, we need to remember a day when God will stand as judge. At a time like this, it is a great comfort to us to know that evil will be dealt with. You see, we need a Savior, and Jesus is the answer. We need justice, and Jesus is the answer. And we need love. That's the third thing we need. One of the many cries that people are making on social media is that love ought to win. Don't let hate win. Overcome hate with love. And I totally agree. I totally agree with that sentiment. And yet one of the problems is that as we say it, there is hate even in us. If I'm honest, deep down there is hate in me towards the man who did this. A hate for people like him. A hate for people who think that they have the right to take the lives of others. Deep down, there is a hate in me towards people like that. I know I'm right to hate what they do, to hate the evil. Of course that's right. God hates the evil, but I'm not right to hate the person. And if I let hate consume me, then love will not win. And even worse than my hate for a man like that is my failure to even love properly the people closest to me. You see, love overcomes hate, but the problem is our incapability to love perfectly. In order to overcome hate, what we need is a far greater experience of love. And that experience of love, which we need, is the experience of love that we have when we come to see Jesus as our Redeemer. For at the cross of Jesus, the world's greatest act of love is seen. The Bible says that Christ Jesus died for us while we were still sinners. You see, Jesus died for people who hated him. When he had every reason to return hate with hate, as it were, he loved even his enemies. And at the cross, God says, "I love you." And he says it to every person, to every one of us. At the cross, God says, "I love you. I've come to die for you. I've come to redeem you from this broken world. I've come to forgive you. I've come to give you new life. I've come to give you new hope." At the cross, God says, "I love you. I love you. I love you." And the question for us is, will we believe him? Will we accept his love for us? Will we cry out to him, perhaps even tonight, and say, "Yes, God, I have sinned against you, and I thank you for your love for me. Now help me to love you in return." Because when we do come to accept that this love that God has is for us personally, and we know that we are loved perfectly by the living God, well, then we are free to love in the same way that he has first loved us. We are free to imitate the love of God, and we can love even our enemies. And so tonight, I want to finish by encouraging those of you who know the love of Jesus to demonstrate that love to others. You have received a love that you do not deserve, and now we must love in response. Love your family, love your friends, love your neighbors, love our Muslim community here in Christchurch. Love those who mourn and grieve, love those who hate. Job had a great hope in the midst of his suffering. In his darkest day, when the world seemed totally out of control, he knew that God was in control, and he looked forward to a day when things would be put right. He knew that his Redeemer lives. He knew that one day the world would be redeemed. Job knew that God is seated on his throne and one day will judge this world. And those same truths are what can give us a great hope today. Friends, if you want hope in this dark hour, then look to Jesus, our Redeemer, the one who died for us, the one who now lives for us, and the one who will one day stand as a judge on the earth. We need a Savior, the answer is Jesus. We need justice, the answer is Jesus. And we need love, and the answer is Jesus. He is our Redeemer, and he lives, and in the end, he will stand upon the earth.